Thank you, Jesus. This week I saw something where somebody was like, have you ever been going through something and somebody's like, you got this, Where this person was like, this person even said it, but they're like, rather than saying you got this, it should be he's got you, talking to God. So that's what I wanted to minister on today is the title is God's Got You. So if you will, you can go with me to John chapter 15. Or you can say, God's got this, See, John chapter 15. I'm going to read this from the NLT. And this whole chapter is Jesus talking to his disciples. So, John 15, verse 1. I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they will produce even more. So that's a point because we know that, we go through times of prayers where we get kind of corrected and stuff, and God's correcting us. Now it's important because that's a good thing, It means you're producing fruit, and he wants to prune you to produce even more fruit. Verse 3, you have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Because, of course, he's talking to his disciples. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. So, this right there, he's telling them basically, you can't do anything without me. People go through, you can try to do all the good works you want to, and you may do so-called good things according to the world. But it's all fruitless. There's no fruit. It's like you've been cut off from the tree and you're just there. It's like, at first when a tree, if you cut off a green tree branch, the leaves are green still right away. They don't immediately turn dead. But if you notice over time, of course, they die up. So somebody may look like they're doing good right away, but over time you kind of notice that. So that's why you got to remain in the vine. So you're constantly in Jesus. Verse 5, yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. And I know we do that party, but sometimes it's always a good reminder. It's like if you're remaining in God, that's why it's like anything you're going through, just remember you got to go to Jesus because you can't do it on your own. And if you're in Him, just remember whatever you have need of, go to Him, ask Him for it, and believe and trust Him. Verse 8, when you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. I love that because he's basically, what he's telling his disciples and he's telling us is that our joy comes from Jesus. And then because of that, because I mean, you can't have true joy without Jesus, But then it's like when you can get into that joy and then it just overflows and it affects other people around you. Sometimes it's like if somebody's going through something, you want to come along and kind of encourage them. They need that encouragement. Just like if I'm going through something rough, I always like it when, if somebody can come along and encourage me. And that's what that joy does. That joy just, it can overflow you and it affects other people around you. And that's just part of staying in God and letting God do everything and not trying to do it on our own. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. No, I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends, since I have told you everything the Father told me. You didn't choose me, I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. This is my command, love each other. And I was just thinking, you know, with the whole thing with Margie and stuff, you know, that's part of loving her, you know, as you help her out when she's in need. And that's part of loving Peggy, because Peggy cares so much about her mom that you want to help Margie because you love Peggy too. And that's the love of Jesus, is helping each other out when we have needs. Yep. If the world hates you, remember that it hated me first. The world will love you as one of its own if you belong to it, but you are no longer part of the world. I chose you to come out of the world, so it hates you. And this we can see with Israel. You know, God chose Israel. So what does the world do? The world hates Israel because they're chosen of God. Do you remember what I told you? As a slave is not greater than the master. Since they persecuted me, naturally they will persecute you. And if they had listened to me, they would listen to you. They will do all this to you because of me, for they have rejected the one who sent me. So that's important to remember, because we know, being Christians, we know that we're going to get persecuted. We got to remember, you know, they're not persecuting you because of you. They're persecuting you because of Jesus, because of him in you. They would not be guilty if I had not come and spoken to them. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Anyone who hates me also hates my Father. If I hadn't done such miraculous signs among them that no one else could do, they would not be guilty. But as it is, they have seen everything I did, yet they still hate me and my Father. This fulfills what is written in their scriptures. They hated me without a cause. But I will send you the Advocate, the Spirit of Truth. He will come to you from the Father and will testify all about me. And you must also testify about me because you have been with me from the beginning of my ministry. So this, of course, he was talking to his disciples, which is such, just like he's talking to us. You know, I'm so thankful that all this is written down, because he's showing them, you cannot do anything without me, you know. He's talking about himself, Jesus. And that's what we just got to remember, is that we cannot do anything on our own. We have to have Jesus. We got to remain in that vine. We got to remain in him. And I want to, you can, there's just a few verses here, but you can turn with me to Daniel chapter 3. This is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Daniel chapter 3. I'm just reading verses 16 through 18. And this is out of the NRT too. It says, Shadrach, Daniel 3:16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you have set up. So in verse 17, they say, he will rescue us from your power. And in verse 18, they're like, but even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you that they will not serve his statue. So it almost sounds contradictory, but it's not, because what they did is they stood in faith. They knew that God was going to save them no matter what. You know, if they did burn up in the furnace, well, then they'd be in heaven, they'd be with God. So he was still saving them. But they had to make that choice that they couldn't, it says, they did not need to defend themselves before King Nebuchadnezzar, because they knew they could not do anything in themselves. They knew it was all God. And that's what we got to remember, is it's all God that saves us. It kind of thinks like, you know, I know we're not in that necessarily that degree, you know, we're not being that persecuted, but it's like just in a day-to-day life, I was thinking of like, maybe you have a bill coming up or something, you know, something that's coming up due, and it's like you don't have the finances yet for it, but then you believe and trust God that no matter what, by the time it comes, he will rescue you, he will save you. And it's like, even if he doesn't, you still believe and trust and stand in him. It's like, no matter what happens, You've got to have that faith. You've got to have that trust, that belief that basically no matter what, I'm going to stand in faith. I know God's going to be my rescue, my savior. It doesn't mean we don't do nothing, of course, but it means that no matter what, you stand on his word. And then you can just, I got one more here. You can just write this down. This is Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. Isaiah 41:10, and this is out of the Amplified. It says, "Do not fear anything, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Be assured, I will help you. I will certainly take hold of you with my righteous right hand, a hand of justice, of power, of victory, of salvation." So, what we got to remember is that no matter what, God is the one who's got it. You know, we don't have it. We all go through things, you know. Some days are better than others. Some weeks are better than others. But it's like no matter what it is that we are going through, you stay in Jesus and you know that he's the one that's got it no matter what it is. So that is all that I have for you, is encouraging on that no matter what, God's got you. So.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. That was wonderful. Thank you, Lord. If you would turn to Psalm 99, please. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Today I'm going to talk about God's holiness and what he is calling us to be. A while back, God spoke to me to speak to everyone to be holy as I am holy. And I think that it's one of those things where we look at it and we think it's just an impossible task that we can never achieve. We can never be like God. We can never be as holy as he is, of course. But God is calling us to be set apart because he set us apart. It's nothing we can do in our own power and our own strength and our own might. It's nothing we can do on our own. We need Jesus to be holy. Amen. So Psalm 99 says, "The Lord reigneth. Let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherubims. Let the earth be moved or be shaken. The Lord is great in Zion, and he is high above all the people. Let them praise thy great and terrible name, for it is holy. The king's strength also loveth judgment. Thou dost establish equity. Thou executest judgment and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt ye the Lord our God, and worship at his footstool, for he is holy. Moses and Aaron among his priests, and Samuel among them that call upon his name, they called upon the Lord, and he answered them. He spake unto them in the cloudy pillar. They kept his testimonies and the ordinance that he gave them. Thou answerest them, O Lord our God, thou wast a God that forgavest them, though thou tookest vengeance of their inventions. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy." You know, I'm reading this because God is holy and he always has been holy. He always will be holy. No matter how many generations pass, generation after generation, God speaks to each one, each generation, each person, calling out his people, setting them apart for his plan and his purpose. You are his people. Amen. So turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. Thank you, Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to read 13 and 16. Thank you, Lord. "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." Amen. And this is interesting because Peter is writing this, and God was constantly speaking to his people to be holy. In Leviticus, which is where that reference comes from, he's going through the law and he's telling them to be holy. But then as you go through the word, God is like, you know, it's not so much about you physically trying to be holy in everything that you do, because you're going to fail. Physically, you can try to be perfect. You can try to change yourself. You can try to make yourself be better. You know, like, you know, you think, well, man, I'll never have a temper again. I'll never lash out again. I'll never say the wrong thing again. And then the next day, or maybe even the next minute, you end up saying the wrong thing. This is not, to be holy is not something that you can achieve on your own. Amen. It's not something that you can say, okay, I'm going to change and I'm going to do this. And then it fails because you think that you're doing this on your own. When you make the decision to let the Holy Spirit change you, when you make the decision to say, yes, Lord, I know I can't change myself. And sometimes there's things where we actually enjoy things that we don't want to do. Like Paul's like, I do the things I don't want to do and I don't do the things I want to do. So it's like sometimes you enjoy these things that are actually sin and you think, you know, how can I ever change? Because I don't even really want to change. All you have to do is just say yes to Jesus, because what he does is he changes you from the inside out. You can change yourself on the outside and it may look like it's okay and things look okay, but Jesus changes you from the inside. He doesn't start on the outside and work the way in. He starts on the inside and works his way out. Amen. And that's the change that we need in our lives. Amen. So I want to continue on. Actually, Michael already read this. John 15, I'm not going to reread it. The world hates you because Jesus chose you. John 15, 18 through 20, Jesus calls you and he says, you know, you're not of this world. And he also talks about it in John 17. He's like, you know, I didn't choose you just to be just like everybody else. I chose you out of this world to be different. I chose you out of this world to be unique. So the world hates you and they don't even understand why they hate you. They don't understand what's different about you, but they do. And that's where you can't let that affect you. When you see people and they're angry at you for no reason, when they speak bad about you for no reason, or they curse you or say evil things about you, or you don't even know what's wrong, just don't let it bother you. Not because you're letting it bother, you know, like your physical self is like, oh, I want revenge. You know, this person said something bad about me, I want revenge. Because that's our natural inclination. That's our natural flesh saying, you know, you want that person to go through what you're going through. But spiritually, you are different. You don't need to let that person affect who you are in Jesus Christ, because they don't understand what's inside of you. They don't even understand why they're mad. They're just saying things. Amen. So just let that all dissipate. And then turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Thank you, Lord. Hebrews 12, I'm going to read 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Meaning, not only did he create the faith that's in you, but He created it and he's accomplishing it in your life. You know, last week we read you live from faith to faith and glory to glory. Jesus is the one who takes you from this level of faith to this level of faith to this level of faith. And he doesn't stop. Jesus doesn't give up on you just because you're stuck at this level. He keeps working with you, and he keeps working with you, and he keeps working with you. And when you feel like your faith has dropped, he keeps working with you at that level, and he keeps working with you, and he keeps working with you. It's just like I talked about last week. It's our children. We expect our children to learn how to walk and talk and do normal things, and we expect that because we do that. Jesus only expects us to do the things that he did. Amen. He sacrificed himself on the cross for our sins. He only expects us to sacrifice ourselves, not that we die, you know, like he did, but we sacrifice ourselves, our desires, our flesh. We crucify this flesh every day so that we can live spiritually and walk spiritually and get beyond our feelings and our trials and our tribulations to walk and go from faith to faith. Amen. So let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2. I should have told you to hold a marker there. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. I want you to hold a spot there and turn to Psalm 34. Thank you, Jesus. I have a lot of scripture today, so just bear with me all your flipping pages. Or turning something on your phone or electronic Bibles. All right, Psalm 34, verses 8 to 10. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, you his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. In other words, just like it says in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That also means the Lord is my shepherd, I don't have need of anything. So verse 9, it says, O fear the Lord, you his saints, for you don't have anything that you need. He accomplishes everything. You don't have any need of anything. God supplies it all. Amen. Verse 10, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Amen. So God supplies everything in your life. Everything that you need, God supplies it. And you know, unless you know that God supplies it, unless you know that he's the one that's blessing you, you don't know that you're tasting and seeing that the Lord is good. So verse 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. You have to know that whatever is coming to your life is from the Lord when it is good. When you have tasted the goodness of the Lord, when you have dwelt in his presence, when you have heard his voice calling you from the darkness. You know, I just earlier when Aunt Jessie was talking about her and Peggy were hearing that still small voice of the Holy Spirit saying, go check on her. Go check on Margie. Go check on her. That is a taste of the goodness of the Lord. When you're hearing his Holy Spirit on the inside of you and he's showing you every step that you need to take, that's tasting the goodness of the Lord. When you don't know what step that you're going to take and suddenly God opens up a door for you, that's experiencing the blessing of the Lord. Only God can do those kind of things. Amen. And it may be that you don't even know that it's God doing it in your life. Maybe someone is praying for you. Maybe someone is praying that you will be blessed. And because they want you to experience and taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. We do that for all of the people we know. We pray for them just like that. Amen. When you have felt his love pulling you from the very depths of hurt and despair, once you have tasted that the Lord is good, you need to go after him with all that you are. Once you get a taste of that, once you feel a taste of his compassion and his love for you, man, just go after it. Go after it with everything that's in you. I want you to think about Actually, I'm going to go on and read real quick, and then I'll say the next thing. Go back to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. To whom coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, you also. So think about this. You are chosen of God. You are precious. Amen. As lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. You are standing in this place where you are priests and kings, and you are the ones who are offering up your daily sacrifices to the Lord. You are doing that. No longer do you need to go have someone else make a sacrifice for you. You yourself are making your own sacrifices to the Lord. So you need to think about, what are those sacrifices in my life? Amen. What is it that I need to give to the Lord that truly needs to be a living sacrifice? Amen. Verse 6, wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded or confused. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. I want you to keep in mind, this is who you are. Okay, when you don't know, when you feel like you just don't know who you are, you need to speak this over yourself and believe it. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, and I'm just going to leave the rest of that. I'm going to go back to that. So on verse 8, it says, I'm going to go back to it. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. So have you ever heard a truth in your life that shakes you to the very core? Like someone or a group of people lied to you your whole life, or even just a few weeks, and then suddenly you found out the truth. You notice how that like really shakes you up. Like, this is what's really the truth. This is really the truth. This is really what's happening. Well, this is what happens when people stumble at the truth of Jesus Christ. Because what the devil has done, he has deceived them their entire lives. And just letting them go in circles, they never really have a destination, only repeating the same thing day after day, because that's what the devil wants. He wants you to just live in monotony, doing the same thing day after day without really a goal in life. That's what he wants you to do, because if he can get you comfortable in that circle, you'll never get out of that circle of life. You'll never get out of that and into the path God wants. And what Jesus does is he shines a bright light into that monotonous circle, that wandering deception. And what happens is people are shocked. They see that bright light and they stumble because they're like, you know, they suddenly realize they're going in circles and there's this clear path ahead that Jesus has for them. And that's what Jesus has done for each one of us. For some of us, it's been easy. You know, we see that he wants us in the right direction and we see his bright light and we follow it. But for others, that path and that circle has been so many years that it's really, really hard to get out of it. And Jesus really has to knock us off of our routine in order to just shake us up to get us out of that darkness. You know, he will shine his light on people their entire lives. But sometimes, you know, have you ever noticed that when you're looking down and you're just not really focused on anything else. You just want to do this one thing. You don't really have anything else planned in your life, that you just get into this one thing. You're just going to do that one thing, and that's all you're going to do. Well, Jesus wants you to just stop and look at him. He wants you to stop everything that you're doing, whatever you're doing in life, and he wants you to put your sole attention on him. He wants you to take you out of that monotonous life, out of everything that you're going through, and just shake you up, because he doesn't want you to just be going through that same routine all the time, because all it does is lead to death. All that routine does is just hold you in bondage. And Jesus is like, I want you to be free. I want you to get out of that circle of bondage and come out and be free and actually have a destination that you want to go to, actually have a purpose in life. That's what God wants for you. He doesn't want you to just go through life and just la-di-da, you know, I just don't really know what plans are for my life. I don't really know. I don't even know if I'm helping anybody out. I don't know what my purpose is. God wants you to have a real purpose. He wants you to have eternal life. And not only that, you know, James 4:7, it says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You know, God is love. You know, he wants you to just not just live this life. He wants you to experience and surrender to this life. You know, it says, submit to God. If you know, God is love. So if you surrender to love, then what it does is it opens up the doors for God to fight all of your battles. What he does is he comes in and he fills you with his love. And when you turn to him, that love, it shines in you and then it shines through you. And you need that in your life. You need to experience his love. You know, we talk about God's love. We hear it all the time. Jesus loves you. God loves you. God loves you. You hear it all the time. But you need to experience his love. You need to be filled with his love. You need to let that love overflow in you, because that is how you taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. And when you taste and see that the Lord is good, then you can be holy. Then you can know that holiness does not come from anything that you can do. It's not anything. It's not, you know, the law. People try to follow the law, but it failed. It's only in Jesus Christ that you can truly walk this spiritual walk. Amen. It's only in him. So turn to Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to start at verse 17. Actually, I'm going to read this out of the New Living Translation. Thank you, Jesus. Ephesians 4:17. With the Lord's authority, I say this, live no longer as the Gentiles do, for they are hopelessly confused. Their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life God gives because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against him. They have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasure and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. But that isn't what you learned about Christ. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Holy Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Amen. So stop trying to do this yourself. Just do it. Just be what God has called you to be. Amen. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 18. Thank you, Jesus. Just going to read a couple verses out of here. Matthew 18. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Amen. And just like, you know, it says back in 1 Peter, you have to desire the word. You have to desire the sincere milk of the word. And what that is every time there's a truth of the word that comes to you, every time you hear those foundational truths, you need to hold on to those dearly. If you don't set yourself in the revelation of what Jesus has done at the very beginning, that he died for you, because he wants you to be with him, that he loves you, that he has a plan and a purpose for your life. If you set that foundation in your life, that's the sincere milk of the word. If you forget that, then any of the meat, have you ever noticed that when you're eating, you can't really eat without drinking something? Well, this is like, if you want to go further on from faith to faith and glory to glory, every time you receive meat of the word, you need to be desiring the sincere milk of the word. Every time you get a deep revelation, you need to remember the first revelation that you heard. Every time the word opens up to you, you need to remind yourself that Jesus does love you, that he does care about you, that he does have a plan and purpose for your life. Because you need to ingest the word and you need to let it digest. Amen. You need to let it bring life into you. You need to let that word grow in you and prosper you spiritually. Amen. And I'm going to just read a couple verses. You can write that down. Matthew 5:5-6 says, Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Amen. John 6:35 says, And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Amen. And that sounds kind of like, you know, well, we should be hungry for the word. Well, what Jesus is saying, he is the only source that can quench that hunger. You can try to fill yourself up with things of the world, and you can try to fill yourself up with little things here and there, you know, whatever you do in this life, you think, oh, it's good enough. But only Jesus can really quench that hunger and that thirst. And that's why he's saying, be hungry for him, because he's the only true source. Amen. And then turn to Isaiah chapter 55. I'm going to start at verse 1. It says, Ho, every one that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. And this is so cool because this is Jesus is like, you don't have to have anything in yourself. It doesn't matter what you have. You come to Jesus just as you are, because he's the true source. Verse 2, Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat you that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people. And he's talking about Jesus, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and let the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Amen. There is not a time in your life where God is not calling you. God is, you know, a lot of times we think that just because we can't hear him, that he's not there. We think that, you know, and what it is because our spiritual ears are different from our physical ears. Our physical ears can hear at distance. You know, like I can hear someone that's close to me, but I can't hear someone that's far away unless they shout. Well, the Holy Spirit is everywhere all at once, and he's always talking. And what we need to do, it's kind of like when you turn a radio up and down. We need to turn up our spiritual ears. Turn that up so that we can listen to what he is saying, because he's always speaking. But are we always in tune with what he's saying? Amen. We need to open up our ears to hear what he is saying, because then, just like Jesus wants, we can go from faith to faith and glory to glory. Amen. Psalm 107:9 says, "For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness." Do you want to taste and see that the Lord is good? All you have to do is say yes. He's the only one that can satisfy that longing that's inside of you. He's the only one that can fill you with goodness. He's the only one that can give you goodness. Amen. Believe in his goodness. You know, the Holy Spirit does not waste his time. When God has called you specifically for a purpose in his kingdom, he does not make mistakes. You are not a mistake. When God calls you, listen. Listen to his voice. You know, some people push that still small voice of the Holy Spirit farther and farther away in their minds when he is calling him, because they feel like they have to give up something. You know, have you ever felt like that? You feel like, I don't really want to serve the Lord that much because I'm going to have to give up something. I don't really want to work in the ministry because then I have to live holy, and I want to be able to do fun things every once in a while without anybody looking at me. You know, like you think, oh, I don't want to fully surrender. But let me tell you, the Holy Spirit is going to keep calling you and calling you and calling you until you listen, until you fully surrender to him. He's just going to keep calling you. So why don't you make it easy and just say yes? Just say yes to him. Maybe you don't recognize that it's the Holy Spirit. Maybe you feel like there has got to be something better than this life that you're going through. There has got to be a solution to all of these problems that keep rising up. Let me tell you, there is. And he is real. Jesus longs for a relationship with you. Through his Holy Spirit, he is speaking to you in little and in big ways every single day of your life. He wants you to come to him. He wants you to open up the door of your heart and let him in. You know, Jesus came to this earth knowing that he would have to sacrifice himself for a people who hated him. Amen. He knew that there would be many more people after that, that one sacrifice would open up an entire body of Christ to him. He knew that. He had to have faith that his sacrifice would do that. Amen. We have to have faith that our sacrifice to him will reap benefits and blessings beyond what we could ask or think. We have to believe in that. You know, Jesus was born for a purpose. And right now we have all this, I call it commercialized dysphoria. Because the world markets Christmas instead of celebrating Jesus, instead of recognizing that Jesus is the reason for, like, they think, you know, People say Jesus is the reason for the season. He is. He is the reason for everything. Jesus is the reason for everything. He's the reason that I live. He's the reason that you live. You know, if you feel like, well, there's just nothing for me on this earth. There's just not enough here. You know, like you could say like, well, my family's making me mad, or my work is making me mad, and I just want to get away, and I just don't want to deal with this stuff anymore. You know, Jesus has a way of dealing with things. Jesus has a way of showing you that it doesn't matter who your family is. It doesn't matter where you work. It doesn't even matter what church you go to. If you are hearing his voice, if you are listening to him, that's what matters. Because when you listen to him, God shows you that plan and that purpose, and he takes you out of that circle of monotony, and he shows you that true path that you are to be on. You know, God knows your heart. He knows what you really want on the inside. He knows because he put it there. He knows, you know, there's things in our heart that we think, why is that even there? And there's things that the devil make us think, well, you're always this way and you're never going to change. Or the devil makes you feel like, you know, you're just not worth it. Why even change now? It's too late in your life. It's never too late. You can be 1, you can be 100. It is never too late. There is still a purpose for your life. Amen? I mean, look at what Margie and Peggy, what a blessing Margie has been to us. She came here because Miss Chris was going to take care of her to die. And then Miss Chris died and Margie is still here. And what a blessing Margie has been to each one of us. I mean, how amazing God is, because he cares about every person, no matter how old you are, no matter how young you are. No matter if you think that you can accomplish these things on your own, or whether you think that you are worth nothing, God has a plan and a purpose for you. Listen to his Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. That is all I have today. You may stand. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hi, Alan. Thank you, Lord. All right, let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we just thank you for your word. God, we thank you, Lord, that just as Michael shared, God, that you have this. You have us, Lord. You are taking care of every detail of our lives. And even when we feel like we are wandering, we feel like we don't know what the next step is, Jesus, you are here for us. You are here to show us that next step. Shine your light on that path, God. Show us what we need to do, God, as we come into this new year, Lord. Help us to recognize and see what purpose it is for us, in Jesus' name. And God, we thank you, Lord, that every person here is healed by Jesus' stripes. Every ache, every pain, whether it be physical or emotional, thank you for your healing, God. And we thank you for being with Margie right now, Lord, for strengthening her body. God, when it is time, Lord, let that time be beautiful and peaceful, that she is welcomed into your presence. In Jesus' name, we love you, Lord. Amen.